The Red Cross is often one of the most visible and valuable organizations during a disaster. The familiar red and white logo is a symbol of relief and reassurance. But the nonprofit organization has come under fire for its response to Sandy. WNYC's Stephen Nesson reports this latest disaster may have exposed the weaknesses and misconceptions of the venerated charity.
The Red Cross has been providing relief since the Civil War, but recently it's run into an image problem. After Hurricane Sandy, the group was criticized for not being on the ground in New York City immediately following the storm. From Staten Island to Breezy Point, disaster-stricken residents like Douglas Owens have been asking, where's the Red Cross?
You hear about the Red Cross building hospitals in other countries, you know? Why aren't they here helping us build our houses? They're just giving us week-old hot dogs.
Well, the Red Cross doesn't build homes. Sam Kelly is the regional communications director for the New York region. He says there is a lot of misunderstanding about what the Red Cross does.
We're not first responders, so we don't send our people into an area that could be heavily impacted. We don't send people into areas that we know are going to flood during something like this.
The Red Cross says it provides food, cleanup supplies, as well as mental health counseling. It's also sending volunteers door-to-door to visit evacuees and cooking meals at two remote locations and shipping them throughout the city. It's received pledges of $170 million since the storm and says it's given out 7.5 million meals and snacks and more than 5 million relief supplies. Kelly says 91 cents of every dollar donated goes to disaster victims. But because the damage was so widespread throughout a dense urban area, it presented unique challenges.
It's not been a perfect response, but we're very proud of the response that we've had. This is, of course, the biggest response we've had in 5 years as an organization.
In Breezy Point, where more than 100 homes burned to the ground, resident Anne Marie Willis says it was several days before the Red Cross began providing food.
We would have liked them to have bring us hot meals, because people were working 24/7 around the clock, you know, but it just didn't happen.
Willis was a Red Cross volunteer. Now, she's taken matters into her own hands and is running her own relief operation. The Red Cross did donate water, meals ready to eat, paper towels, and cleaning supplies, but they go fast. And Willis says there's never enough bleach. Everyone comes to her for more.
Diapers, baby wipes, we also have cleaning supplies. We're handing out bleach, brooms, mops, shovels, everything that people need to clean the houses up with. It's Anne Marie's warehouse.
The Red Cross has 9 of what they call outreach centers in the storm-ravaged areas. Volunteers meet there and fan out in groups, canvassing the affected neighborhoods, assessing the needs. The group recently invited me to its Breezy Point outpost, where backhoes, bulldozers, and work trucks rumble by. There, I met a dozen Red Cross volunteers in red vests.
You got meals?
Yeah. They look like little TV dinners and boxes, and you don't need a microwave, though. It heats up by itself.
Workers in a disaster response van hand out meals ready to eat. 80-year-old Joseph Trevisi and his nephew Frankie are given a box with 12 meals.
We have no electric.
Oh, so it's perfect.
A team of volunteers in an SUV full of diapers, water, and comfort kits head out to a few homes that previous volunteers say need assistance.
Yeah, we've been all down these sections from here, way in the back.
The SUV turns down a street of 1- and 2-story clapboard homes. A Lincoln Town Car is still wrapped around a telephone pole, and a work crew cleans out flooded basements. But most homes on this block look to be in pretty good shape. Wes Mukayama is a 70-year-old Red Cross volunteer from Santa Clara, California. He's here to provide mental health relief. He enters a beige home with 2 other volunteers to check on an elderly woman who lives alone. About 15 minutes later, he emerges.
I asked if she's sleeping and eating. You know, I cautioned her about this feeling that she may have if she gets agitated. It's a normal reaction to an abnormal situation. So that may continue for a while.
That's all he could say about the interaction. But this kind of Red Cross work is time-consuming and often goes unseen. Mukayama, like the other volunteers I met here, is not from New York. Most stay for a few weeks and return home. I asked him about the continuity of this kind of work.
We can't continue to come back. We might not know where we're going to be the next day. So we caution them and we say, you know, we never make any promises that we'll be back.
Here and abroad, the Red Cross and Red Crescent assist local charities, religious-based relief groups, and other organizations. The Red Cross has networks in 187 countries. Killy says during disasters like the Haiti earthquake, it played a more visible role because there was less support from the government there. Here, the organization works with FEMA, city agencies, and other groups that are providing assistance. Killy says that means the Red Cross is less visible on the ground. For WNYC, I'm Stephen Nesson.